This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The investigation into the attacks last Tuesday is fanning out and leading to some detours and some revelations. It appears that some of the hijackers may have used aliases, making it harder to connect them to a larger network. And it appears that the FBI had been alerted as early as August that a large group of potential terrorists were trying to slip into the country. NPR's Barbara Bradley is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
The investigation is expanding rapidly. A lot more detentions, right?
That's right. There are now 115 people in custody. That's up from 75 yesterday. They're being held for immigration violations, and the government wants to know if they know anything about the attack. The FBI is looking for 190 others whom they believe may have been involved in the attack or knew something about it or about the attackers. And apparently more than something like 44 of those people, the FBI is... 44 of those people that the FBI is looking for apparently had some sort of pilot's training, which is very interesting. One of the people the FBI wants to find is a guy named Nabil al-Marab. They raided his home in Detroit earlier this week. He had already moved out. And we've learned that he sought and was granted a hazardous matter commercial driver's license, which allows him to move large loads of ammunition, chemicals, nuclear waste, other dangerous chemicals. And he's nowhere to be found. It's kind of unsettling.
What about this alert to the CIA and FBI in August that there might be a large terrorist threat?
Right. The Los Angeles Times is reporting that Mossad, Israel's intelligence agency, warned the FBI and CIA that as many as 200 terrorists were slipping into the country and were planning, as the Times put it, a major assault on the United States. And Mossad apparently traced the threat back to Osama bin Laden, the Saudi fugitive who's, as you know, a top suspect in this case. Now, it wasn't clear at the time whether U.S. officials had enough information to come up with a response. And, you know, that's a problem in these cases. All this stuff is shadowy. I mean, you never know when these threats are credible. Intelligence agencies get snippets of information every single day, and it's only afterwards that you can kind of put the puzzle together. It also appears the FBI knew that two men with links to Osama bin Laden had entered the country, and they were on a watch list. The FBI tried to find them, but couldn't. And in the meantime, it appears that the FBI didn't give proper warning to the airlines. Those two men are believed to have been among the hijackers on the flight that hit the Pentagon.
The FBI is trying to find associates and possibly links to bin Laden. And what steps are they taking?
They're following the money. Yesterday, the FBI sent a list of the 19 alleged hijackers to banks, plus two others. The FBI has asked bank officials to search for any financial transactions that these people might have made. You know, it's a traditional investigatory tool. You follow the money trail, you go through banks, look at credit card records, all of that, and you hope that the trail leads back to the mastermind. If the mastermind is Osama bin Laden, that's not going to be easy, since investigators say that he's very clever about hiding his financial transactions. Plus, a lot of the hijackers use cash, so that could be harder to trace.
And there's more on the hijackers?
There is. We kind of seem to be learning more and seem to be learning less. It appears that at least some of the hijackers used aliases. The Saudi government says that two of the names on the list are people who are still living. Their passports were stolen a few years ago. And the Saudis believe that a lot of the hijackers use stolen identities. Obviously, that would create a whole another layer of complexity for the FBI. It could lead to a lot of dead ends, you know, at a time when they are rushing to connect the hijackers to a larger network before the trail goes cold.
This is rewriting the book on suicide bombers.
It is. You know, the first line of defense against a terrorist attack is the psychological profile, you know, who the age, education level, economic status of the potential terrorist. And until this attack, the FBI and other profilers thought that they had a pretty good handle of what a Middle East suicide bomber looked like. And they're finding that, you know, it didn't fit this time. I've been talking to a lot of profilers, and they say in the past they thought the typical suicide attacker was an economically poor, quote, psychologically damaged male. Generally, he was young, 19 or 20, uneducated, religiously fanatical, didn't fit into American society, acted alone or in a small group driving a truck bomb, for example. And profilers didn't believe that a suicide bomber or suicide bombing was exportable. They thought that the suicide bomber had to be kind of coaxed and encouraged right up to the last minute. And if he came to the United States, he'd lose his resolve. Well, that profile doesn't fit the suicide bombers that we saw last Tuesday. These men were educated. Many of them were pilots. They were well-traveled. They had families. They lived in middle-class neighborhoods. They fit into suburban America. And profilers say that's pretty disturbing because it would be a lot harder to spot that kind of suicide attacker in the future.
NPR's Barbara Bradley.